think I'll be able to talk real loud. Can you hear me? Permanent Addict, my name is Paul. My clean date's April the 14th, 1990. I have 15 years and 2 days. That's 5,482 days in a row. And just for today, I'm not going to use. Because after I leave here, I'm going to sleep. And I may wake up in time for the main speaker. The first time I came to one of these, I had about 5 years clean. And I went swimming in the creek. And when I got out of the water, the hotel manager and one of the Ocean City finest was standing there, and they asked me, did I have a problem? And I asked them, what do you mean? They said, well, it's March. Most of our patrons do not dip in the creek this time of the year. I told them I was not like them regular patients. That every time I got near the creek, I felt like I should get in it. So, I'm not going to get in it today, though. This is a wonderful opportunity for me. And you people in Narcotics Anonymous have been really good this weekend with me. Past couple weeks, for real. I hope you guys can hear me, because I'm really hoarse. And I have a chance to be in Narcotics Anonymous at a time that I really want to be here. I really want to be here. I'm one of the addicts that will probably not use again, as a direct result of the faith that I have in this program, as a direct result of the faith that I have that God is going to use you so that I will never use again. As a direct result of feeling like shit for so long and finding a way out of that. I think I bought a handkerchief because I'm running. So, I am so excited. I can't tell you how much the friendships that I have developed over the past 15 years in this program. Hating white people when I got here, hating black people, short people, fat people, hating people from Washington. I got clean in the Norvana area, which is Alexandria, Arlington area. And for a long time, I thought that the incest, the molestations, the rapes, the beatings, and just that little bit of crack was my problem. But I realized by staying here in Narcotics Anonymous that it was much deeper than that. Because in our concept, local service working guide, it talks about arriving to Narcotics Anonymous with the emptiness of love, the shallowness of being a human, and not being able to face life in rich living of love and service to another human. And the way I lived before I got to Narcotics Anonymous was just like that. Anytime a grown man's drink piss out of a beer can, walk long walks from uptown Washington, D.C. to South Alexandria in hopes just to get one. I'll never want to use again. I remember my mother was dying and all I could think about was, I'm going to need a little something to get me there. I'm glad she didn't die then, because I never made it. Because I needed a little something. The using and using and using and finding ways and means to keep using is such a destructive abyss. I never want to return to that. I don't want to hate gay people because I was raped by men and left for dead in a hotel. I don't want to hate white people because I was jumped on a bus in North Carolina. I don't want to hate black people from Washington, D.C. because I was jumped in Washington. I don't want to hate. I don't want to be mad about the sun coming up and I'm out here walking again in the middle of the motherfucking morning and I ain't got nowhere to go but home, and I don't want to go home. I don't want my children to ever see me using. I have an opportunity that my boys will never know the life that I knew. The moving from place to place, the empty days where you would hear people say, I hope they don't come over here. I hope they don't bring that one there. I wish he wouldn't. I wish he had somewhere for him to go. What's so powerful about a sunrise meeting is it puts you directly in contact with the gratitude of, you know, having a higher power in your life. I've never been this clean before. I've never had the spiritual contentment that I've had in the past few months. I can't tell you how happy I am to be able to hold people and allow them to hold me and to care for people that I never knew 24 hours ago. It's a strange feeling to hate somebody and don't even know them. It's a strange feeling to want to have a family and they don't want you to come home. What's dear to me at Narcotics Anonymous right now is friendships. And I think the only way that you really have a wonderful friendship with a person is you allow them and accept them as they grow gradually into whatever their higher power would have them to be. Years is awesome. My first year, I bought a brand new pair of drawers. Because for months on end, I shit on myself and would wipe myself with the underwear and leave them. I would leave them between the dugout and the bus, on the metro, You know, how do you dookie on the metro and leave your underwear there? Only an addict could do that. You know? I remember when I first got clean, McDonald's would be a torment for me to have lunch at McDonald's with $10 in my pocket. Because that's where I used that in McDonald's, in the bathroom. Yeah. Having to face the horror of emptiness that comes from a person who doesn't want to be around people and think that he hates them, but really it's hurt so deeply inside and so far removed from living that he can't accept himself around other people. It's a strange place to be when all your dreams and your inhibitions are slowly, slowly sifting away in your life right before you. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. To me, I was not supposed to be an addict. I was the chosen one in my family. I was not supposed to be an addict. There's no way you could tell me that I would be robbing my family, dookieing on myself, puking out the mouth, the nose, the ass, regularly, just to live. I got papers where people have tested me and said that he's very smart. I've heard people say, man, we need to do something for him. Nice people. I was not supposed to be an addict, to my thinking. But I started smoking reefer when I was about 14 or 15. And somewhere around 20, I didn't like living. And I began to change that potential that those people saw. And what happened was I began to self-destruct. And I began to hate. And I began to harm. And I begin to accept the hate and the harm. How do you tell your mother you've been raped and left for dead? And that you probably will never be able to have children? And that when you were 9 years old, you dreamed of being a father and having a family. And I said, when I have my family, I don't want to be drinking or smoking. I have two boys and a wife. So a dream does come true. I wish I could feel the love that I had when my grandmother died. And I began to tell God how much I hated him. I wish I could find that because I had lost it. Here I am 15 years later. And I can feel it. And it never happens when I want to feel it. It always happens when God used one of you to make me feel it. Because I never get an opportunity to thank God the way I think I should thank him for forgiving me for the way I hated him. How could you thank God for giving you something that you knew you had lost already? for all the lives I've wrecked, for all the mayhem and harm I've caused. How do you begin to thank a God for something? How do you begin to pray for what you know you probably can't have? The doctors told me that there was a slim to no chance for me to be a father of any children. And I have two boys that love me. I have been on the Hug Squad for 14 years. I'm proud of that. Because in order to walk around and give yourself to somebody, allow them to rest and hold you, you got to practice that. It's like exercise. I give the best hugs. I walk around and I actually think I'm supposed to train newcomers on the Hug Squad. Like it's my duty or some shit, you know? Come here, let me see what you're doing. Oh yeah, this is a smoking meeting. Please don't let your fire get in nobody, hey. So, the reason why a hug is so important is because whatever love that's essential in the willingness of having a higher power travels throughout this world. It travels through a standstill time at the rate of speed that's only known to something greater than us. That it can travel so far and reach so many and rest so quietly within the singleness of a hug. How powerful is it that you're so happy that when you hug somebody, you break out and you're not even embarrassed anymore? I cry in movies. I cry, you know. So I had gas one time, and I said, I'm not going to, you know, break wind in the elevator. And, man, I did good right up until the 8th floor. And I let it go. But it was so relieving that I cried. And I was like, you are such a fool that you would sit there and just keep yourself in so much torment. And there's nobody else in the elevator but you. Just go on and free yourself, fool. And act like it was already here when you got it. Our disease is in our thinking. You can't get free if you are scared to expose yourself. I'm not trying to hurt anyone. I'm trying to get free. I don't want to live like I used to live. I don't want to hurt the way I used to hurt. I want to be able to dream. I want to be able to look forward to something the next day. I want to be able to look at you and know that you're my friend. And every time I see you, my God, I want to say thank you that you're my friend. I don't have to call you every day. I can just hold you in my memory and know that you're my friend. I got some friends I only see them once I come to this regional. I try to get to that Thursday night meeting they have down there in Salisbury. I'm late every time, but I look forward to getting there every time. get any warmer out here, though. So now I'm going to share some profound stuff, okay? Yeah, I'm going to share that. A guy made me read our basic text. And what he told me was, because of the way you are, you're going to need this information. He said, because people are not going to like the fact that you swear to God that you never want to use again. So, you're going to have to read this. He said, and because you don't like people, you're not going to have anybody to talk to. So you're going to need to read this. Because you don't take instructions well. Because of your arrogance and your pride. You're going to need to read this. Because you have a hard time listening to white people. Because you have a hard time looking at or sitting next to people. Because you're so uncomfortable and so untrusting. You're going to need to read this. Else you're going to die. So I read. Man. I feel like Spanky or something. Now I'm gonna share everything for you. That was profound.
Oh, that came out of the book?
Oh, sorry. I believe in service. And service is the only thing that has kept me clean to understand why I don't want to use. Because if I wouldn't have been in service, I wouldn't have followed instructions. I wouldn't have learned how to live amongst other people. I wouldn't have given myself a chance. I wouldn't have challenged myself. I would not have arrived to go somewhere, knowing that the people don't want me to come anyway. Then I wouldn't have a sponsor. I wouldn't be able to sponsor people. My brother is here with me. And for 15 years, I have longed for the day where I could sit in a meeting. And for whatever camaraderie that I have been watching over the years in this Chesapeake region of men and women with their family members recovering. For 15 years, I have had a lost emptiness watching my friends recover with their family. And my brother has, how many days? And I want to share about my brother because he's so loving. Stuff. And he ain't have my kind of like real bubbly personality, but he can write stuff. And he was always there. And I remember when our parents were divorcing, he made me and my other brother promise. He said, wherever we go together. We shared underwear, we shared everything. A few of his girlfriends. That's another story, though. But one thing that I've known from the very day of being old enough to know anything is that he's the best brother I could have. I never had anybody that I would see him do stuff and I would say, oh shit, not me. But for real, I was saying, damn, I wish I was like that. I wish I was able to be that kind to people. He didn't hate white people. I thought something was wrong with him. I said, he is one fucked up dude, man. He would get high with everybody. And I just didn't know how to do that. I didn't know how to ride the bus or go to class or go to the store. I just didn't know how to do that. He could do that. I love you so much. Well, let's see, what else? I'm celebrating 15 years at Steps to Life, 8 p.m. Shameless plug. Oxon Hill, Maryland. This Thursday, once we get back off the beach. And it's an E-M-E. The thing that's so powerful about Narcotics Anonymous, the first time, my first power example came from a gay guy. He had two, it was my second month clean, and he was celebrating his fifth year, and he did a fourth and fifth step at a podium. And I was like, damn, how could you possibly do that? And then it was another little short lady. She died. She was from Richmond. She had the virus. Her name was Frankie. And that was my friend. And she was the littlest thing. But she was a firecracker. And she loved Narcotics Anonymous. But her story told me I belong here. His story told me I belong here. Because before hearing those two people share, I never listened to anyone in a meeting. I would sit around a meeting and say, oh, he is so fucked up. Oh, what does he know? What does she know? I got a guy that I love and respect today as a direct result of his courage to read, and he has a speech impediment. And I would say, why would they give him Who's an Addict? It's going to take him 20 minutes to read that. Well, I went back to using it. He stayed clean. Those are my examples of a higher power. And watching this sun come up. I've had about 35 minutes of sleep. Yeah, I normally don't sleep. And when I come here, I'm in service the whole weekend. That's the only way I'm going to be able to do it and not end up in one of them hotel rooms having sex all day. Yeah. I'm on three service committees. And I'm not in service in my room. I'm in service at a convention. And as a direct result of that, I've been having some of the most wonderful car parties and eatings at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And we have not been asleep yet. I did change my underwear. Okay. And I'm so grateful. I'm so very grateful for the dreams that Narcotics Anonymous have given me. I am so grateful that God has allowed my inhibitions and my aspirations to come. I remember listening to Doreen at Courage to Change in 1991 and saying to myself, I don't think I'll ever be able to do that. I've done it. I remember standing there hugging people, and Clyde Casey was the chairperson, and he was one of my mentors in the program. And you know, when I got clean, you just did what people told you to do. And they turned me over to Clyde when I got to there, and he said, well, you just stand right there and hug people until I leave. He forgot that he gave me that instruction. He was doing whatever. And he came back. He said, did you hug him? And everybody that was coming through the doors, I had a line of people standing there waiting to hug me as a direct result of him extending himself and God using him. And for that, I'm truly grateful. And from that convention to this convention, I can't find a better place or a higher level of recovery, a personal recovery, to involve myself and allowing God to change me and move me and use me. I love all of you for coming out here. I love you for sharing your lives with me. But most of all, I love you because the message is hope. The promise is freedom, and it didn't cost me anything except my experience, my strength, and my hope. And for that, I'm truly grateful. I believe that we each are indebted to help someone like someone first helped me. And if I'm ever so remindful of that, I'll stay in this blessed fellowship called Narcotics Anonymous one day at a time, just for today. I thank God for you all. Thanks for letting me share.